Please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for another time that we can just get together in this place you provided for us. Pray that you'll bless the people as they come this morning. Thank you for getting us through another week, dear Lord God. It's only by your grace that we go from day to day. Especially be with our pastor as he prepares to bring a message that you put on his heart this morning. Again, we just give you thanks for every minute, every day that you just give us on this earth. We just want to bless your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
truth, the way. We bless your name. We bless your name. You are the truth, the way. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. My God, thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. Turn to Psalms 149, please. Psalmist says, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him. Children of Zion, be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name and dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud among their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye. Thank you, Jesus. We're so thankful just to have a God that just watches over us and keeps us daily. Thank you. worship you, Lord Jesus. So worthy to be praised. My God, my God.
bless you, saint. I can feel the Spirit of the Lord in my body, and I'm like, it's a fine time to come up and try to sing. I'm going to sing a song that God gave me. It's called The Power of God. Why does the storm rage in darkness? How does the rain fall from the sky? And how does the bow color all of heaven and bring to us a smile? How is a baby born every second? How does a boy become a man? And why does life go on and on and on, as though time just began? The power of God and all creation is in the palms of God's hands. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The power of God and all creation is in the palm of God's hands. All the world and all that's in it, it's in the theme of God's great hand. Why does the sun rise every morning? How does the moon hold back the tide? And why do the stars shine on a clear night? And the clouds hang in the sky? Why did the Father give us Jesus? How does his word save our souls? And how does his blood wash away our sins, cleanse and make us whole? The power of God and all creation is in the palms of God's hands. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The power of God and all creation is in the palms of God's hands. All the world and all that's in it, it's in the theme of God's great plan. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All the world and all that's in it, it's in the theme of God's great plan. All the world and all that's in it, It's in the theme of God's great plan.
God's great plan. Thank you, Sister Lee. Next we have Sister Sharice.
Already won my victories in Jesus.
Thank you, sister. Oh, leave it in his hands. Jesus. Thank you, Sister Cherise. Oh, beautiful song. Got no words. Get rid of the offering and have another special after that. Bless the people now, dear Lord God, as they give. So much you have given to us, dear Lord God. We're just so thankful for all that you do for us daily. May you just bless them. We thank you all for all of them here today, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Great is your mercy towards me, your love and kindness.
Praise the Lord. We don't have any written requests. How many show that you have a request upon your heart? Show by uplifted hand. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks this morning, Lord. It's by your grace and mercy that we all stand here this day, Lord. We have come into the house of the Lord to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. We know that you'll meet us here because you promised that you would in your word. Father, we have brothers and sisters, Lord God, that could not make it. Lord, Brother Burris is always upon our hearts, Lord. And we just ask that you minister to his needs, Lord. Strengthen our brother, Lord God. Make him completely whole. Father, our loved ones, Lord God, all those that we have upon our hearts that have needs, Lord, we just ask that you minister to their needs. Father, we ask that you feed our souls this morning, Lord, and ask that you bless Brother Jack in a special way, Lord God. We know and trust, Lord God, that you have spoken to him, Lord. Give us a word, Lord, for this season that we're in, that we may prepare our hearts for your coming, Lord. Help us to lay down all of our burdens at your feet just now, Lord, and just trust you and take you at your word. We love you, Father. We ask that you bless the remainder of this service, and we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, whom we love and adore. Praise the Lord. Do we have any announcements this morning? Praise the Lord. Communion and feet washing today at 5:30. Amen. Sisters, prayer meeting Tuesday at 7:30. We have a youth service November 14th. It's going to be 6266 South Congress Avenue. I guess that's Lantana. 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Amen. Sisters Fellowship to be rescheduled for November 21st. The time will be announced. God bless you, saints. I didn't know I was supposed to sing this morning. Brother Wisdom told me. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the river, near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring it seems before. I'll watch and
trusting ever till I reach that golden strand just beyond the Find rest beyond the river. One more time. Oh, it's in the cross. Yes, in. Oh, be glory ever, whoa, till my raptured soul shall find, oh, I'm gonna find rest beyond the river. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I'm looking forward to that great day of rest, church. Man, no more sorrows, no more pain, no more heartaches, man, no more hard days. I'm looking forward to that day of rest. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just give the Lord another hand of praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just want to thank the Lord for all of those specials that went forth this morning. Amen. Just a wonderful atmosphere that we have in this place. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe all the announcements and everything were done. We'll just go right into the word of the Lord today. But as you're getting your Bibles, I just want to make mention that we were having a problem with our church website, and as far as being able to listen to the sermons and things of that nature. So we actually had this new site and have been taking some time just migrating over to it. But this new church website is john423.org, www.john423.org. So if you want to listen to sermons and things of that nature, you'll have to go to that new website. We are not, it's not fully functional just yet, but we're going to be making changes here and there. But if you want to get to sermons, you can go there to john423.org. Eventually, what will happen is that Spirit and Truth Tabernacle will be pointing to this particular website. So just wanted to keep you reminded of that. If you did want to go and listen to sermons, just go to that website. Also, as we are approaching the end of the year, we want to have we always do our Christmas worship service, and so if you desire to do something, you know, on that service, and know we've already kind of started down this path with some things, but if you desire to do something, maybe sing a song or whatever, just kind of get that in your heart, and we'll kind of get things down the list. Usually, Sister Michelle takes care of that for us, and just make sure you get to her that, hey, I desire to do this, so that way we'll already have everything already planned out. rushed when we get there. So if you desire to do something, please make sure that you put your name on the list. It'll happen probably on a Sunday evening, right before Christmas. And, you know, we'll be looking forward to just all that God has in store. Amen. And as we're doing that, as we're bringing our worship to the King, I want to encourage you, invite somebody to come along with you, you know, to be a part of that service. And, amen. Let's just bring our worship to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will read, amen, from Ezekiel 36 again today. And praise the Lord. Just so good to be back in the house of God. Amen. See all the saints, amen, this morning. And we're just going to kind of keep going down our channel here with rebuilding the ruined places. A couple things I want to say today, and a couple more things I want to say next week. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 36 and 36 is where we'll read from. And I'll also take a second scripture from Revelation chapter 2 as well today. But Ezekiel 36:36 says this: Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. I just love that. If God said it, there's nothing that can stop it. Amen. Even our unbelief won't even stop it. Right? Our unbelief will not stop it. You may look at whatever situation you're in, and you may say, man, I just don't see how this is going to work. God said he's going to do it. Amen. God said he's going to do it. So we're looking forward to that. Let's go also over here to the book of Revelation. Amen. And we'll in chapter 2 and just kind of bring this in as well today if we can. Praise the Lord. I'm at verse 20 in this. Just so that we have a little history here on the scripture. These particular scriptures were written to the church of Thyatira, amen, and they were dealing, amen, with some conditions that were there in that day, and, you know, so let's just kind of get a context around this, amen. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And if we were to all be honest, amen, certainly God has something against the church of Thyatira for some of the things they did. But if we would all be honest with ourselves, there are probably some things in our life that God would say, I got a few things against you. Right? And we want to make sure that we get all those things clear. Because you know, we want to stand whole before him, amen, perfect before him. So here, verse 21 says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now it's very important that we understand there that fornication in this particular sense of the scripture means idol worship, amen. And a lot of times there are different people that try to tie scriptures together to mean, you know, various things, but you know, we got to follow what the prophet said about these things, because it helps us to see a little bit more clearer, so that we don't kind of misinterpret, you know, what the word of God is saying. But here, when we look at it in this form, it's idol worship. Amen. Commit servants, talk, seduce my servants, commit fornication, and eat things sacrificed unto idols. Let's pray over the word of the Lord today, and we will, amen, let you have your seats. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to stand in the sanctuary. What a privilege it is to be here this morning, and how blessed we are. We thank you, Lord, for the specials that went forth, and how you've anointed Sister Wisdom, Lord, to write that song and to present it to us today. How we appreciate that. Thank you for her gift, Lord God, and I pray that you continue to use her. Sister Sharice, we heard, Lord, just bless the church this morning. Thank you for her gift that you use, and Brother Solomon as well. Lord, just ushering in a mighty anointing in this place, and the people have been blessed by the worship. Brother Wisdom and leading us in worship, the people have been blessed by that this morning. And God, God, now as we enter into the word of the Lord for this day, we trust that you, God, would get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and help us, Lord, to enter in and receive what you have in store for us. It's in Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Before I forget, I want to say I appreciate Brother Jeffrey there. He came to me this morning and he says, Brother Josue here? I say, he coming. I say, but he got some things that he got to take care of this morning, you know. But he said, well, I was just, you know, noticing because he wanted to kind of make sure that the chair was taken care of. And I appreciate that, you know. I mean, get in where you fit in, right? You don't have to wait for nobody to ask you to do nothing. But if you see things that need to be done, make it happen. And I appreciate that. God bless you, Brother Jeffrey. God bless you. Praise the Lord. So we're grateful, amen, just to be back again this morning. And we want to continue down our path of rebuilding the ruined places. If I could, I want to just start out with a quote here from Separation from Unbelief. And also just give you a definition once again of ruin. It's the physical destruction or disintegration of something, or the state of disintegrating or being destroyed. And, you know, I as I even thought about that definition, I thought about, like, if you ever seen an old, what we call dilapidated house, right? And when you look at that house, and, I mean, it, you know, especially now times, people might call it a haunted house, right? But you look at that house, at one point in time, it was somebody's vision or goal to establish that house for their family and to live in that and just enjoy, you know, what God had given them. But over time, amen, conditions change and situations change, and the house that had purpose at one time, amen, now is forsaken, right? And you know, and sometimes you look at that, it takes somebody with vision to be able to come back and look at that house in the state that it's in, and when they catch a vision, they say, well, we can paint this wall and we can and add some wood here, and we can, you know, replace this roof, or we can do this, or we can do that. And in the process of them doing all that, they're rebuilding that old house. Come on, somebody. Amen. And if they can do that in the natural, with the natural house, then that's what God wants to do with his people. Sometimes we lose our purpose in life. We lose what, you know, God had planned for us, and we lose our way and things of that nature. And we, you know, we end up looking like a dilapidated house. Amen. But God is able to rebuild a ruined place. Hallelujah. Amen. So, church, that's what we're kind of focusing on. We're bringing this through, amen, the church ages, so that you can see it from a spiritual type. But also, we're believing that God is doing the exact same thing naturally, amen, in the lives of believers today. Praise the Lord. Let's pick this up here in Separation from Unbelief. The prophet makes this statement, says, now in the day when just at the midnight of Israel's history, if you notice King Solomon, in the day of Solomon, Israel was at its brightest turning. Amen. Then the king of Ahab, time of King Ahab, and we read this, I mean, I read a different quote last week, but in Solomon's day, it was like the Ephesus church age, right? It was like the Ephesus, and that's the first church age that came right after Jesus left the scene. Amen. So, you know, the church would have been truly illuminated with the power and the presence of God at that time. But as we've been going through, you know, our Sunday school lesson, we've been finding out that the church lost some things. And, you know, it was so bad in the city of Ephesus that the city itself disintegrated, and disintegrated so bad that not one believer was left in that city. Amen. It was a really rough condition. But, you know, again, that's a ruined place that God is able to rebuild. Now look at this. He says, Solomon, in the day of Solomon, Israel was at its brightest turning. Then the king, amen, of the king Ahab, time of King Ahab, it was at its darkest. Just at the dark time of Israel, where Ahab married a little old idol worshiper and brought idolatry into Jewish religion. So did the Holy Ghost Church marrying into the world and bringing idolatry in the dark ages. Very beautiful type on both churches. Now, you know, I mentioned it last week, and I'm going to mention it again because I think it's very appropriate. We got to watch what we marry. Come on, somebody. Amen. A good man can marry a bad woman and or a good woman can marry a bad man, and either one or two things can happen. Either the good, amen, gonna make the bad good, or the bad gonna make the good bad. That's all that's gonna happen, right? So, you know, we can look at Ahab's situation, but church, this is happening right before us. There's many a saints that's got into the wrong relationships because they didn't seek God. Come on, somebody. Amen. We might as well say amen to the truth. But many of us have been caught in some situations because we didn't seek God. We went through a lot of trouble. And some are still going through a lot of trouble. But I'm here to tell you that God's not going to leave you there. Amen. Israel went through a lot of trouble. The church age, the church went through a lot of trouble. But God had promised to rebuild a ruined place. Hallelujah. God's got grace for your mistakes. God's got grace for that, church. And now all we got to do is accept that grace. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Don't let the devil get you so beat up and beat down about the mistakes that you made. God not looking at your mistakes. Amen. God wants you to learn from your mistakes, but we got to keep moving forward. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go on. He says, Ahab was a borderline believer. Just a fellow that believed enough to make him miserable. Just a fellow to make him, I mean, believed enough to make him miserable. Did you ever see people like that? Well, they have conception that they would like to go to church and do right. They feel like it'll make them a better social person in their social lives. And maybe for the sake of their children, they think they ought to. Maybe belong to the church. If that isn't the most miserable person I know of, I tell you that that the best of cut loose all shorelines and launch out into the deep, or don't go at all. Don't go to church because you're trying to get your kids in church. Huh? Don't serve God because you're trying to do it for somebody else. Say, you got the, you, it's up to you to cut loose all the shorelines. Serve God because you love God. Come on, not because your mama loves God or your daddy loves God. Don't serve God because you're just trying to get to heaven. Amen. See, I mean, the thing with this, you'll spend all your life trying to get to heaven, but ain't doing nothing here on this earth to impact nobody. Right? Serve God because you love God. Amen. And that love that's inside of you will actually begin to flow inside of your children. And I mean, others will see that love and it'll do something for them. It will impact their lives. But serve him because you love him. Come on, I don't serve him because my mama served him. If mama didn't serve him, I'm still going to serve him. I don't serve him because daddy served. If daddy don't serve, I'm still going to serve him. I don't serve them because my wife or my children, if they don't want to praise God, that ain't going to stop me. I serve them because I love them, church. Come on, somebody. We got to have our own personal relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. Stay with me here today. Look at this. He says, it's best, the best of cut loose all shorelines and launch out into the deep. Or don't go at all. Just simply stay home. Either go all the way for Christ. God wants somebody who will really go all the way, give all you got, soul, body, and spirit to the service of the Lord. God wants people like that, and I'm determined to be one of them. Solomon's reign was the beginning of Israel's church age. We went through that on last week. Amen. We found that in 1 Kings 9, verse 6 through 9. It was a golden age for Israel under Solomon's reign. Queen of Sheba came to prove him, and she observed the hand of God all over his kingdom. She said the halves have not been told, and when she came, she brought everything she had, right? When you come to God, you got to bring everything you got. Come on, you got to bring your time. You got to bring your money. You got to bring everything you got to the service of the Lord. When the Queen of Sheba came, she brought $3,500,000. God, I wish we had some more Queen of Sheba's. That don't mind serving God, don't mind giving God an offering of $3,500,000. Now, if she gave that much, she must have had something else she was sitting on. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, God will give you that, but can he trust you to give it? Well, I'll tell you, we get a little piece of something, we don't mind paying a tithe on $1,000. Well, you know, whatever, I give God my $100, that's good. But man, sometimes you get $100,000, like, ooh, how much? How much you say that check gonna be?
You start looking at the numbers on that check, like, how much you say? I mean, you want me to write a check for $10,000? And look, I ain't never gave over $10. You start having mind battles. Huh? I ain't never gave that much in church. You know, so I mean, that's why you got to challenge yourself to give more. That way, because, see, as you give more, then God can give you more. Come on. If you want blessings to come to you, you got to let them flow through you. Hallelujah. If you got mind battles by writing a check for $100, you're going to have mind battles by writing one for $1,000. You're going to have mind battles by writing one for $10,000. You will have mind battles by writing one for $100. If God gave it to me and I could write a $100,000 check to the church, church, you wouldn't stop me from getting here. Man, if I had to walk to church to bring it, I'm going to bring it with a smile. God, I get to bring $100,000 to the church. That's the way I feel about it. If I could bring $1,000,000, I would be so happy that God blessed me to bring $1,000,000. I'd be happy to give it to the Lord. I wouldn't be like, $1,000,000? You know what we can do with this? You can give it to God. That's what you can do. Come on, church. But it's this, that Queen of Sheba had no problem bringing her all when she was convinced that it was of the Lord. Amen. Since Solomon's reign was a type of the Ephesian church age, remember, Ephesus meant aimed at and relaxed. Also, when we consider Solomon's life, while starting his reign, he was certainly focused or aimed at when he was building the temple for the Lord. Solomon did many great things, amen, at the beginning of his life. A lot of wisdom that was shown at the beginning of his life. God used him in mighty ways. Unfortunately, Solomon got relaxed and also introduced idolatry by building temples for his foreign wives. He should have never married those women because those women turned his heart from God. The same man that built for God now is building for the devil. Hallelujah. He became relaxed. Also, during Solomon's reign, it was prophesied because he built those temples for his foreign wives, it was prophesied that there would be a split in his kingdom. And in the Ephesians church age, at the Nicene Council, it produced a split within the church. And the split was Trinitarianism, which introduced three gods, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Unitarianism, which believes in one God, and we believe in one God, but Unitarianism denies the divinity of Jesus Christ. We don't believe that. We believe Jesus was God. Amen. And I remember, you know, a little story here where, you know, the prophet was with this, you know, he was preaching, you know, Jesus being God, and you know, this lady got a little offended by what the prophet was preaching, and she walked up to him. She was going to correct the prophet. Amen. You know, this sister was going to correct the prophet, and as she went up to him and said, "You preach too much and you brag too much on Jesus." He said, "You know, if that's the only thing you got against me, then I'm doing all right. You know, because really, if I had 10,000 tongues, I wouldn't be able to praise him enough." She said, "Well, you brag too much on Jesus, and you know, you need to know that he was not divine." He said, "Well, he wasn't." Say, "Well, prove it to me by scripture." She said, "Get your Bible, go to John chapter 11, and say, you know, the Bible say that Jesus wept." And she said, "You know, if he's divine, why would he be weeping?" He said, "Sisters, that's all the argument that you got." He said, "That argument is so weak." He said, "Yeah, when he went to Lazarus' grave and he wept, I would say that was a man. But when he told Lazarus, 'Come forth,' huh, that was more than a man. That had to be God." Amen. It had to be God. He said when he was sleeping because he was so tired on the back of the boat, and the disciples began to wake him up and say, "Jesus, carest thou not that we perish?" He said, when he was sleeping, that was just a man. But when he stood up and put his foot on the edge of the boat, hallelujah, and he said, "Peace, be still," that was more than a man. That had to be God. Oh, glory to God, church. See, he was all God. My God, my God, my God, my God. Amen. Brother Branham, just, you know, I love the way that he kind of brought those things out. You know, when He also said when he went to Calvary and he cried for mercy and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a man that was crying like that. He says, but when he got up on the third day and he rose for our justification, that was more than a man. Said he was either all God or he was the greatest deceiver the world has ever seen. So when they argue that he was not divine, they're not reading the scripture the right way. Amen. Jesus did things that only God could do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had to be God. Listen here. You know, we want to just kind of move a little further now into, you know, Brother Branham telling us that in Ahab's day, it was the darkest of Israel's church ages, and kind of comparing that to, you know, the Thyatiran age, where that was also considered the dark age. If you look there on the chart, amen, there in the middle where it says Columba, amen, and Thyatira, they had so much darkness in that age, about 900 years of darkness. 900 years. Now, just stay with me here. I want to read a little bit for you. Amen. Let's go to the Thyatiran church age, paragraph 216. And amen. Just stay with me here. I want to just kind of drop a few things off, and then we'll keep going. Glory to God. It says this, and in this Thyatiran church age, she is a dominating female. Now, you need to also understand something. Brother Branham say a dominating female is the worst curse that the world has ever had. Oh, hallelujah. A dominating female is the worst curse that the world ever had. And if you all have ever worked for a dominating female, you know why the prophet said that. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth. Right? A woman is not made for that position. God didn't ordain her for that position. Right? But I mean, when you say even since the days of Eve, a woman has always been trying to dominate a man. Amen. Rather than being subject to a man, she's always been trying to dominate the man, and that always creates problems. Come on, y'all. Ain't nothing but the truth. Right? You know, I mean, you know, that spirit of a dominating female, because it was released so many years ago, look at what it's done today. Now, you know, it was a time, I hate to say these things in a you know, an audience like this, but there was a time where, you know, the homosexual agenda was something that they kept in the closet, right? And there was also a time where you might not even know who the man in the relationship was and who the woman was in a homosexual relationship. But today, it is pretty clear, because the woman that is the man, she gonna dress like a man, she gonna look like a man, she gonna even act like a man. Amen. That dominating female spirit is a really, really bad spirit. A perverted spirit. All right, somebody, come on. Says the Thyatiran church age, she is a dominating female. She is a mystery Babylon. She is the great whore. She is Jezebel the false prophetess. Why? Because the true female is submissive to God. I'm in paragraph 216, 1 in Thyatiran church age. The true female is submissive to God. Christ is her head. She has no word but his, no thoughts but his, no leadership but his. See, and so in a relationship, when we see the husband and wife, always remember this. Sister, your part in a relationship is representing the church. The man's part in a relationship is representing Christ or representing God. So the church has always got to be submissive to the word of God. The church cannot dominate the word of God. If we get ahead of the word of God, we're going to create a lot of problems. And that is exactly what has happened throughout the ages. The church has led, amen, has been led astray by the enemy to get off the word of God. The brother brought this on Friday night. He said, you know, and I got a quote on this. See, the man in the scripture represents the Bible. He says, but the church, you know, the woman in the scripture represent the church. And when you look at what happened in the Garden of Eden, it was the church, the woman, that left the word. Amen. And that pattern has happened all throughout history. It was Israel, the church, that left the word. Amen. In the church ages, it was the elected church that left the word of God. It's always the church introducing something that God did not say. Eve introduced something that God did not say. Eve interpreted the wrong way. The church has actually gone off in their wrong interpretations of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's why they baptized in the wrong way. They introduced something in the wrong way, and they've been doing it for years. God promised to rebuild or restore that ruined place. Come on, let's stay with me here. Say, she has cast out the word, destroyed the Bibles, and worthy essays of the godly. She has slain those who would preach the truth. She has taken over kings, princes, and nations, controls armies, and insists that she is the true body of Christ and that her popes are the vicars of Christ. She is entirely seduced by the devil until she in turn has become a seducer of others. She is the bride of Satan and has produced his bastard child religions. Go on. All through the dark ages, she is dominated. For over 900 years, she plundered and destroyed. She killed the arts. Now, it's good for us to kind of recognize that this is what the church did through the Thyatira church age. Amen. She killed the arts. She destroyed the sciences. She produced nothing but death until the light of the truth was almost entirely gone and only the bare silver of light remained. Now again, this is the church doing this. Now, there was a time where Jesus even prophesied in scripture that people would come against you thinking they're doing God a service. Right? They would come to destroy you thinking that they're doing God's will by doing it. And the Catholic Church did all of this. Right? The Catholic Church did. I mean, here they call themselves the church, but they're destroying God's people. 900 years of suffering at the hands of this church. Come on now, somebody. This is the same thing that Jezebel did in the days of Ahab. Let's look at it. Let's go a little further. It says she dominated, but the death until the light of the truth was almost entirely gone, and only the bare silver of light remained. The oil and the wine had almost ceased to flow. But though she dominated the world kingdoms and demanded that all men find their citizenship in her, there was a little group who belonged to God, and their citizenship was in heaven. And then she could not destroy. God kept his little flock. They could not be destroyed. I want to say something here. If they couldn't be destroyed in the Thyatira church age, that little flock will not be destroyed today. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, this church of Rome was as heathen and wicked as Queen Athalia. And Athalia happened to be Jezebel's daughter. Amen. The church of Rome was as heathen and wicked as Queen Athalia, who tried to destroy all of the royal seed and almost succeeded, but God preserved one. And of him there came more of the faithful. My. See, that's how our lives can influence other lives, right? Of him came more of the faithful. So God preserved a little flock in that long dark night, and of their truth there finally arose a Luther. And, you know, one of the good things about Luther, I'm going on to paragraph 227-2. One of the good things about Luther, we just brought this up in Sunday school. You know, Halloween is not a day that we celebrate as Christians. Shouldn't be anyway. Amen. It's a pagan holiday. It's an evil holiday. You know, but they've kind of just brought it into the church, and now churches do, oh my, all kind of things in the name of Jesus. I was at a place and I heard them singing a song of worship and praise and adoration to God, and as they had the children up there worshiping and praising God, and then in the middle of the song they start throwing the tune to Thriller. And if you don't know Thriller, that's by Michael Jackson, right? Here they got the young people in the church dancing dance moves to Thriller in the middle of the worship. And you tell me you want to go to a place like that and sit in. How you going to get fed? I mean, after the message went forth, the very first thing come out of their mouth, how many ready to party? How many want to come get Christ? Right? But, I mean, how many ready to the party? And, you know, and the church has gone completely off into these things, and nobody challenging nothing. Everybody just go right along with it because we can get some candy out of this. How many want the Holy Ghost? Huh? I mean, it's a shame what we've done to try to get people into the church. How we done lowered the standards to get the people in church. But one of the great things that happened in the Christian community on October 31st was when Martin Luther, amen, went to the Catholic Church door, took his 95 theses and said, this is wrong. We need some more Martin Luthers to rise up today. Stand at the biggest church that you can find in the city, stand at that door and say, this is wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need more people that will stand on the word of God. Amen. It might not be popular, but it's still right. Amen. We might not have a big group, and I'm not looking for a big group. You know, even in Jesus' ministry, when he had a big group, he did something intentionally to shake the group up. He wanted to know who was still holding on. Here he had 5,000 that had eaten. You talk about a mega church. Jesus had a mega church. 5,000 eating loaves and fish and loaves and all this other stuff. 4,000 another time that he fed, but then he stood up and he gave a sermon one Sunday. Why everybody's sitting there and say, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. Man, the 5,000, the 4,000, all of them walked away and said, we can't take that. Even the 70 that he anointed, that he ordained to pray for the sick, they got up and walked out to church. And Jesus stood at the church door and just shook all their hands as they walked out. God bless you. We enjoyed having you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And then came back in and said, okay, now, will you also go? Peter said, where are we going? Say, only you got the words of eternal life. And Jesus, that didn't move Jesus. Say, I appreciate that, but one of y'all is still a devil. I got 12 people left in the church, and one of y'all is a devil. Hard words. We talk about the loving Jesus, giving some really hard words. People don't know the Jesus that I know. All you got to do is read your Bible. If you read the book of John, you'll see how Jesus just, you know, he started out real soft, but, I mean, he just kind of got tighter and tighter as he was approaching that cross. Tighter, just read the book of John. That's the Jesus that I know. So if we got big crowds, we need to kind of watch that. Maybe we ought to do some things intentionally to shake the crowd up to see how many really want to stay with the word. Come on, let me just read a little bit more here. I'm in paragraph 227.2 in Thyatira Church H. The first and very important thing that we learned about Jezebel is that she is not a daughter of Abraham. Now, very, very important. Nor is her induction to the tribes of Israel one of a spiritual mission, as was that of Ruth the Moabitess. Now, here, Ruth the Moabitess would have been a woman that forsook all of her gods. Amen. To follow the God of Naomi. All right. Everything that she did in Moab, she was no longer part of that. She wanted to be a part of the children of Israel. But this Jezebel had no intentions of doing that. She actually brought her stuff that she was doing in her land. She brought that over to Israel to try to influence the young ladies in Israel. Well, she wore her makeup. Huh? That's what Jezebel did. When we look at scripture, where makeup comes from, the only woman in the Bible to wear was Jezebel. Jezebel is not our example. Hallelujah. The children of Israel did not do them type of things. And not the same thing today, the children of God are not going to do them type of things. Hallelujah. We're going to look a little different. We're going to act a little different, but God loves us anyway. Come on, somebody. All we got to do is read the scripture. Amen. When we desire to do the things of the world, we got the spirit of Jezebel that is on us. Hallelujah. I want your God to be my God. Now look at what Ruth say. I want your people to be my people. That means I want to look like y'all. I want to act like y'all. I want to dress like y'all. I want to talk like y'all. Where y'all go to church, that's where I want to go to church. I'm tired of doing the things of Moab. I'm tired of doing the things of the world. I want to be a child of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm going on. Glory to God. Nor is her induction into the tribes of Israel one of spiritual mission, as was that of Ruth the Moabitess. No, sir. This woman was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidon. 1 Kings 16:31, who was the priest unto Astarte, he had gained the throne by murdering his predecessor, Thelus. So we see right away that she was the daughter of a murderer. This certainly reminds us of Cain. And the way she became a part of Israel was not through the spiritual channels that God had ordained for the Gentile admission, but she came in by marriage to Ahab, the king of the 10 tribes of Israel. Now, this union, as we have seen, was not spiritual. It was political. And so this woman, who was steeped in idolatry, did not have the least desire to become a worshiper of the one true God. Hallelujah. Church, I'll tell you what, you know, I've seen young men see a young lady struggling, see her struggling with things of the world. She's steeped in idolatry. right? She's steeped in it. Amen. You know, I might as well just say these things now while I'm here. You know, Brother Branham even taught us, says, you know, even when we wear earrings, that the earrings come from idol worship. Right, it's something that comes from idol worship. And if you and I remember when I first started the church out, I said, Lord, I know the prophet going back into Africa and he pulling out some of these things with some of the tribes, but I said, Lord, I need to be able to see that through scripture. Well, God showed it to me right in the scripture, Genesis 35. Right, and what happened with Genesis 35 is that, you know, here Jacob is leaving Laban and he's on his way back home, but his wives stole the idol gods from their father Laban. And Laban went charging to try to find Jacob and say, now you done took my daughters. I mean, I know they're your wives. You done took the grandchildren. You done took all that. But why did you take my idol gods? So he said, I ain't got your idol gods. I ain't got nothing to do with your idol gods. He said, if you find the idol god here, then I tell you what you do. You know, you kill the person that got it. Did not realize that his wife, the one that he loved, was sitting on top of the idol god. And when her father come into the tent, you know, she said, Dad, I can't get up. It's my time of the month. I can't get up and address you. So, you know, just forgive me for that. So the man did not find his idol gods, and he left and ran away from there. But they were sitting right underneath his daughter. After Laban left, Jacob said, y'all put away y'all idol gods. And the Bible say they took them out of their ears. Right? Because so when Brother Branham said the idol worship was there, when we wear earrings, that's a sign of idol worship. He was exactly in the Bible. Come on, church. We might as well say amen to these things. We're trying to go back to the Word. We're not trying to look like the world. We want to look like the Word. Hallelujah. See, we're trying to rebuild some ruined places. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I say even as a believer, I can't believe believers in this message would take their little kids and get their ears pierced. After knowing these truths, after walking, that's why, no, you can't do that. Come on, somebody. Amen, let me keep going. My, when you preach like this, it's hard to get an amen, but it's got to be said anyway. It's got to be said anyway. And sometimes I find out I got to say stuff from the pulpit. Amen, because that's the only way we take heat. Glory to God. Amen. Y'all just stay with me today. I'm going to preach it anyway. Amen, amen. Listen to this. He says, he had gained the throne by murdering his predecessor, Phelis. So we see right away that she was the daughter of a murderer. We're talking about Jezebel. This certainly reminds us of Cain, and the way she became a part of Israel was not through the spiritual channels that God had ordained for Gentile admission. But she came in by marriage to Ahab, the king of the 10 tribes of Israel. Now, this union, as we have seen, was not spiritual. It was political. And so this woman, who was steeped in idolatry, did not have the least desire to become a worshiper of the one true God, but rather she came with the avowed intentions of turning Israel from the Lord. Come on, I can work right there. You want to know how many people that got married to somebody that had intentions of turning their heart from the Lord? Amen. And actually, they feel like they accomplished that. But God say he gonna rebuild ruined places. Hallelujah, church. Amen. Listen. Say, now Israel, the 10 tribes, had already known what it was to worship the golden calves. But as yet, they were not sold out to idolatry. But God was worshipped and the law of Moses was acknowledged. But from the time of Ahab's marriage to Jezebel, idolatry progressed in a deadly fashion. It was when this woman became a priestess in the temples that she erected to Astarte, Venus, and Baal, sun god, that Israel came to the crisis point of her life. Now, I just want to read a scripture for you really quick, and then we're going to go into a few things about Jezebel. I want to set up her because this was Israel's dark age. Just like, you know, the church went into a dark age there in Thyatira, it was a perfect type of the days of Ahab. And I want to read a scripture here, just bring some facts about Jezebel. Look at 1 Kings 21. Praise the Lord. See, Ahab should have been careful of who he married. Glory to God. Young man, I was listening to a quote here recently. I have to go back and get the tape, but Brother Branham said, you're going to have to sacrifice something when you're looking for a wife. And young ladies, I'm going to tell y'all the same thing. You're going to have to sacrifice something when you're looking for a husband. Amen. And what it mean by that is that, oh, my. Amen. Sometimes she might have the Coca-Cola bottle shape that you want, but she might not be the prettiest. Amen. Or she might be the prettiest, but she ain't got the Coca-Cola bottle shape. Right? Sister, he may not look that handsome. He might not have a six-pack, but he got a job. He got a good job, sister. He got his own house. He got his own place. He may not be the best looking, but he got some stuff. Hello, somebody. You're going to have to sacrifice something. Amen. Right? You can marry good looks if you want to, but good looks don't pay bills.
Hallelujah. Yeah, man, and trust me, if you think she looked that good, somebody else do too. Amen. You better get somebody with some character. You're going to have to sacrifice something. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Amen, amen. Before you know it, you got yourself a Jezebel. And any people even name their kids. I gave my child a Bible name. What was your Jezebel? Did you read the Bible? I mean, you just kind of picked it up. And did you actually understand that this lady was not an Israelite? Right? I mean, we got to watch these type of things, church. Come on now, somebody. 1 Kings 21, I'm reading verse 23. I want to just kind of drop a few things off here. Remember, in the Thyatira church age, you say you suffered that woman, Jezebel, you know, who called herself a prophetess. You know, you suffered her. You allowed her to do some things. He said, you know, and I gave her space to repent, but she wouldn't do it. And I want to show you today that, you know, God gave Jezebel, amen, space to repent in scripture, but she wouldn't do it. You know why? Because she was not of the children of Israel. Come on. She had never had no intention of serving the God of Israel. Never had an intention. Here in 1 Kings 21, that's why, be careful who you marry. Be careful. My God. Look, if you make a mistake and marry the wrong person, and you know the trouble that done put you through, why won't you just try to help warn other people so that they don't make the same mistakes? Right? I mean, try to use your testimony to help somebody else. If you see somebody going astray, I need to take you out to dinner. Can I talk with you? And level with them. Look, you do not want to do that. And don't think that you got a better way. I thought I did too. You don't know what you said. Yes, at least give them warning. Right? And that way, if they don't take the warning, it's on them. And I'll be honest with you, when it's on you, people that warn you and told you, you still go out there and do it, don't come asking for no prayer. That's your bed. It's a hard bed. Lay in it. Come on, somebody. We might as well say amen. Let's pray about something else, because we don't pray about that. And that's your choice. Oh, I tell you, when you preach like this, you don't get too many amen. You don't get them. But I'm trying to spare God's people from being a ruined place. I told you before, and I'll tell you again. I mean, you don't know what it's like. You ain't seen life in a ruined place yet. You know, you thinking that you can do something a little different what everybody else did. I done seen it 100% of the times. I ain't going to say 100, but 99% of the times. It's always that bad man makes that good woman a bad woman. Or it's that good man become a bad man because he got married to a bad woman. Praise the Lord. Boy, people are, you know, sneaky. You got to watch folks. You got to be able to discern spirits. Why they want to get to know you so quick? Why they calling you to rescue them? Huh? Why? Who you? To think you some type of, you know, hero. People going to set you up and going to stroke you, make you feel like you all that, and they got a plan all alone. Oh, my God, my God, my God.
Spirits are real. And I'm going to tell you, people can get anointed with spirits, but they can also be delivered from spirits. But we got to call it like it is. Spirits are real. They will use you and abuse you. And you feel like you're in a ruined place, and now you don't know how to get your pieces back together again. Amen. look, God can put you know, in Humpty Dumpty's case, the king couldn't do it. That's because they weren't serving the right king. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he can put your pieces back together again. Oh, praise the Lord. Look at this in 1 Kings 21. Verse 23 says, "And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." See, Brother Branham, you know, used to tell everybody, you know, back in this day he preached it, you know, you see a sister, a lady walking around with all this stuff on, paint on her face and all this, and, you know, earrings. Say, "How you doing, Miss Dog Meat?" That's what he said. "So how you doing, Miss Dog Meat?" Well, they had a neighbor. She come outside, and she was dressed and had her makeup on and had her earrings on, and his little son, little boy, and he heard his daddy say in the pulpit, so he looked at the sister and said, "How you doing, Miss Dog Meat?" And she say, "What?" Say, "How you doing, Miss Dog Meat?" My daddy said, "That's what we say to people that look like you." Man, it was embarrassed. But that's just the way it is, you know. And back in those days, that's when women just really started to get into a lot of this. Now it done took over. You know, we used to, in the church, we didn't have to worry about that. Years ago, you didn't have to worry about that. That's how you knew the difference between the church people and the worldly people. Just by the way they presented themselves. You knew that difference. Now it done changed. We got to go back to this word. He says, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Look at this, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. So it kind of tells us in Scripture that this man probably wouldn't have done some of these things had he not been married to this woman. Come on, somebody. The church might not have done some things had they not listened to certain people. The church got off the word of God. And there's so many places. Like, I mean, going to a church and hearing Thriller, somebody got off the word somewhere. Somebody introduced that somewhere. Somebody let down the bar somewhere. That would have never happened had they kind of said no to some things years ago. Praise the Lord. The theologians state that Ahab was the seventh king of Israel, who married Jezebel. Now, Brother Branham just said that she was the daughter of a murderer, and he quoted 1 Kings 16:31. She encouraged Ahab to give Baal equal place with God. This is what Jezebel did. She encouraged Ahab to give Baal equal place with God. The theologians also state that she finally, so after she got Ahab to agree, give Baal equal place with God, right? After she got Ahab to agree with that, eventually, see, it's a slow fate, right? I mean, eventually she got Ahab to finally encourage, amen, she finally encouraged Ahab to oppose the overall worship of God, right? The worship of the Lord. She had her husband oppose the worship of the Lord and to destroy his altars. Come on, not only that, she killed his prophets. Anybody that would try to influence the people to stay with God, she killed that influence out of the land. Oh my God. She herself became a murderer just like her father, Ethbaal. I love this. As Brother Brandon made a comment here, and I just want to just say it here, if I can just find it. Oh, my God. He says, you can't keep the revelation down when the Spirit want to give it. See, no matter how much Jezebel was doing to try to keep it down, the Spirit wanted to give it. Can we read in 1 Kings 18? You can't keep it down when the Spirit want to give it. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Jezebel had a space to repent because look at this. Look at what happens here in Scripture. I'm in 1 Kings 18. I wish I could read the whole thing for you, but I won't do that today. Let's just pick up at verse 19. Now, as we're getting this, I want you to understand that Elijah is getting ready to challenge the 450 prophets of Baal.
y'all are very familiar with this particular passage of scripture. And as he's getting ready to challenge these 450 prophets of Baal, amen, the other thing that we find out that before he issued the challenge, he found a man by the name of Obadiah. And Obadiah, you know, was there in the land. He said, go tell your king, go tell your master that, I need to see him. He said, now look, don't send me to the king and telling him that you're going to see him, because everybody always go tell the king that, and then you end up missing. You ain't nowhere to be found. And then the king have those men's heads. Don't do that to me. He said, have you not heard that I have hid the prophets of the Lord? Jezebel and Ahab thought they killed all the prophets, but Obadiah was hiding 100 of them inside the cave and feeding them. If God could spare those 100 prophets in that day, I don't care how many come against us in this day, God will find a way to spare us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So Obadiah went and got Ahab, and here we pick up the story in 1 Kings 18. Ahab, remember, has already destroyed the altars of God. Destroyed them because he was influenced by his wife, Jezebel. Now, therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. This tells you that Jezebel took care of these guys. She fed them. How many Jezebel preachers in the pulpit today? The reason that they're preaching the things that they preach, even though they know it's not the truth, but they'll say it because they're being fed by Jezebel. They're being taken care of. They're being paid by Jezebel. Come on, Jezebel represent the church system today. Oh, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. You know, I'm going to tell you, it takes something. It takes a real man of God to not fall to Jezebel's food. Hallelujah. It's very easy. Money flowing through the system, anybody can get into them. Anybody can tap into that, right? Anybody will have something to feed their family and retire with that. But it takes something to say, no, I ain't going to take no food from Jezebel's table. What you say I got to do? What you say I got to do? No, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Stop preaching what? One person told me that he had told some people about, you know, their lifestyle was not acceptable in God's sight. It wasn't acceptable. And he called his church to, you know, ask for support for something he was doing. And they say, well, we don't mind supporting you, but, you know, we just want people to know that Jesus loved them. You cannot preach against sin. He say, I can't do what? I can't preach against sin? He say, well, you know, if that's the case, y'all just keep y'all money. Right, because I'm going to preach against sin, right? I can't help but preach against sin, right? I have to preach against sin. And see, I mean, you can go to any church. Look, the most of the larger churches in our nation today, in our world today, they say nothing about sin. You'll never go and feel convicted. Never. It's always, Jesus love you just like you are. I mean, Jesus don't care. Come as you are. Yeah, come. You can come as you are, but you can't stay as you are. Right? We got to talk about how you're going to clean this up. Come on, church. Right? I mean, people want an easy way into heaven. There ain't no easy way. Right? I mean, Jesus went through a lot for our sins. Nowadays, you go to church, you don't even know what is sin. Help us, Lord. I refuse to be a prophet at Jezebel's table. And we got a lot of them today. A lot of them eating at Jezebel's table. Let me go on. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Boy, I believe that's speaking to us today. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. I like this, 450 men. Sometimes when especially when you look at this situation, sometimes you feel like you're standing by yourself. But I'm so encouraged that God got a way of letting you know you ain't the only one standing on my truth. I got 7,000 that have not bowed their knee at Baal. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes I feel like we're the only church that believes these things. We're the only church standing on the word of God. But God got thousands all over the world that have not bowed their knee to Baal and refused to bow their knee to Baal. Oh, I'm glad about it, church. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. You might be one against 450, but keep standing. Let them therefore give us two bullets, and let them choose one bullet for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I would dress the other bullet and lay it on wood and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of the Lord your God. And I would call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. They said, yeah, we'll take on that challenge. But let's keep reading. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. Look, let me tell y'all something. You know, we're looking at this from a, Baal versus the God of Israel. But you got to understand that even, you know, in the church, we've taken on three gods. We got idol worship going on right now in the church. Brother Branham was sitting at a meeting there in, I believe it was in Germany or something like that. And while he was in the meeting, there was these people chanting and praying, and they call a storm to come out of nowhere and try to stop that meeting. And you know, they were praying in the name of the Father, name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. These people were using the same thing that the church uses. We don't use that. But the same thing the church used to pray, they were using that to call an evil spirit to come. Brother Branham, in order to break that spirit, prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And church, that's the name that we use. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to break any spirit. I don't care what's coming against us. We got power in the name of Jesus. And we're going to have to use that power. What we see here in this scripture is a showdown. And church, we're coming to the same thing in our day. I pray that we're ready for it. Let me just finish reading this. Glory to God. It says, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he leapeth and must be awaked. What did he really landed on thick. And they cried aloud and cut themselves. You know, I think about that, church. And, you know, even if he was sleeping and had to be awake. Now, we know that the Bible say that he never sleeps nor slumbers. We know that. We know that our God never sleeps nor slumbers. But we also know that, amen, there was one time that he was on a boat and he was sleeping. And when the disciples needed him, they called him and he got up and took care of the situation. Amen. So our God, amen, our God is always mindful of whatever we're going through. Look at this. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And my mind goes to this little story, and I'm coming to close on this particular story. But you know, even I believe in the tongues being in the church. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit being in the church. But I also believe that the church has gotten so messed up with these gifts. They're so messed up that they don't even know what they're doing anymore. They just had this little thing go out on Instagram, and here's this lady. Somebody, it's an argument. I don't know what it is. It's an argument, a disagreement. And this lady in the disagreement just start taking out speaking in tongues. And she tell the man, I'm speaking in tongues against you. Where is that in the Bible? Where has anybody ever spoken tongues against somebody else and it was of God? So the man just starts speaking in tongues back to her. You know, say, Akuna Matata. And, you know, I mean, just,
It was a big joke. And that's, the church has allowed it to get to this place. They have no idea what they're standing on anymore. Thank God for truth. The church is in a ruined place. The church, but not the bride. Because the bride has been rebuilt from this ruined place. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this scripture. Verse 29. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any there was nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And remember, I told you that that Jezebel encouraged her husband Ahab to tear down the altars of God. Right? First, she had Baal on an equal playing field as God. That's what she did first. And then she said, "Now just tear down the altars of God." Right? We don't even want God around here no more. Tear that down. But look at what Elijah does. Oh, my church. I like this. See, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. But that's why I say this rebuilding of the ruined place, it happened in the day of the voice of the seventh angel. It's been rebuilt. And even here in the scripture, we can see that Elijah was the one that repaired the altar. Woo! Look at it. Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It was Elijah that restored it. It was Elijah that repaired. And in this day, because we listened to the voice of Elijah, we have been rebuilt. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It says, the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Amen. Unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And 3 represent the number of perfection, right? And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Oh my, see, the evening is the close of the day. Church, y'all see all that? Right? The evening represents the close of the day. And we are living in the time of the close of the day. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, church. I rejoice knowing these things. Amen. It's been repaired in our day. It's been rebuilt in our day. Church, we're walking in this right now. We're not looking for it to come. It's already here. And if it's here in the spiritual sense through the church ages, then it's here with my family. I'm looking for the same thing in my loved ones. It is already here. I'm going to start acting like they're here. I'm going to start talking like they're here. God is rebuilding ruined places. Come on, somebody. Your marriage may be ruined, but God is rebuilding ruined places. Your finances may be ruined, but God is rebuilding ruined places. Whatever you need, God's got it. My. Well, I tell you, I love this. I just love the word of God. It was under Elijah's ministry that things were restored. Under Elijah's ministry. See, you know, Elijah here in 1 Kings 18 had to go against Jezebel. The spirit of Elijah in John the Baptist had to go against Herodias. The spirit of Elijah and Brother Branham had to go against the denominational churches. But in going against all that, God has rebuilt the ruined places. Let me just keep going. Oh my. Verse 36 came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel." I don't care what Jezebel has done. Prove that you are still God in Israel. I don't care about how many prophets she done killed and did all, prove that you are still God in Israel. Look at it. It says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Huh? See, Lord, let it be known. That's why I said we're moving from just the spoken word into what we call the performed word. And when you see your loved ones walking through them doors, you know God has performed exactly what he said. God, let it be known. Let it be known that thou hast turned their heart back again. Look, I don't wanna die. Amen. And then hear when I get to the other side that my family was restored. No, I want to rejoice right now while I got breath in my body. I want to rejoice knowing that my family was restored, that my prayers were answered on this side. I'm not waiting to get to the other side. I want to see it right now. Oh, my God, church. Amen. We ought to get tired of letting the devil just do whatever he want to do. We got to start talking different. We got to start acting different. We got to start living different, church. Amen. God said he going to rebuild. Not only just rebuild. The Bible also said he going to take them from among the heathen. You can't stay out there. You can't keep enjoying them parties. You can't keep, you know, enjoying all the things in the world. God going to take you from amongst the heathen. Huh? My God. God, I want to see that manifested. Amen. I want to see it manifested. Come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, wherever they are. Bring my sons from afar. Let me just keep reading. I love this. It says, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. See, when God does a work, he does a perfect work. Hallelujah. Glory. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. Amen. You know they have to put the Lord, he is the God. Right? Not just a God, because Jezebel introduced them to false gods. She introduced them to Baal. Baal is not a God. He is not the God, but the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God. He is the King. He is the Lord. And he's the one that's rebuilding ruined places. Hey, hallelujah. Your health, he'll rebuild ruined places. Your marriage, he'll rebuild ruined places. Your family, he will rebuild ruined places. And when you see that the Lord our God has done it, you'll praise just like Israel praised. The Lord, he is the God. Man, you talk about a revival hit Israel. The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. I can imagine maybe somebody got a tambourine and began to play tambourine again. Somebody began to shout all over the city because the Lord had proved himself. Man, I can't wait to shout. I can't wait to praise God with my loved ones on this side. Can't wait for it. God is rebuilding ruined places. Woo! Oh, glory. My. When all the people saw it, you get ready to see it. You get ready to see it. Well, I don't care what Jezebel has done. She ain't done enough. She can't do it. God won't allow her to do it. My. Glory to God. It looked bleak, church. It looked hopeless. Amen. I mean, and here, you know, this whole nation is serving these idol gods. Jezebel has completely removed God out of the picture. Tried to anyway. But as soon as the children of Israel saw what their God, I mean, they heard about what he did in the days of their fathers, their forefathers. But when they saw him do something in their day, they begin to declare, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. He's the one and only God. Look at it. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Boy, I tell you what, that's something. If we were to go on and read, this is also a time where Israel was under drought and had no rain for a long time. But it was also after this mighty manifestation of God answering my fire that He also sent rain into the land. And my, when, you know, and if I could just tell you, like He told His servant, it says, get ready, it's going to rain. So tell Ahab to get ready. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And the servant said, you know, I went up, and man, I don't see nothing. I don't see. He said, go up to the top of the mountain and see. Tell me what you see. I climb up to the mountain, man, I don't see nothing. And you know what? Some of y'all been climbing up out of some situations. And when you get to the top, sometimes you just don't feel nothing. Sometimes you come to church and you just want a real good move of the Spirit. And you go back home and say, man, I just didn't feel nothing. Come on, can I talk to you just a little bit? And say, you know, I didn't feel nothing. So then, you know, here the servant, Elijah said, go up again. And then that's the way the Spirit tells you. Say, now I want you to go back on next Sunday. And you come back in the next Sunday and say, man, I went under expectation, but I tell you, I still didn't feel nothing. And then here comes Gehazi down into the valley again. And Elijah say, well, go back up. He's like, man, now look, you don't know what it's taken for me to get this strength in me just to try to get back up to the top of it. It ain't easy walking up that mountain, right? It's a lot of hard places that I got to walk through. And sometimes it ain't easy for you to get your spirit up to get into the house of God. But there's still something to encourage you, go up again. And he kept going until he finally went up seven times. And when he got there the seventh time, he thought that he would see something great. But when he got there the seventh time, he saw something real small. He said he saw a cloud in the sky the size of a man's hand. That's all I see is just a cloud in the sky the size of a man's hand. Maybe you only see some little changes. But you begin to praise God for the little changes that you see. Brother Branham said if you couldn't move your hand on yesterday, and all you can do today is move a finger, begin to praise God for moving one finger. When you praise God for moving one finger, He'll give you strength to move two fingers. When you start praising with two fingers, He'll give you strength to move three fingers. Before you know it, He'll give you strength to move four fingers. Then you got the whole hand moving. Then you got your hands restored, your whole arm is restored. And from there, you begin to walk, you begin to talk, you begin to act different. Praise God right where you are. I don't care what you're going through. Give Him praise for where you are. That thing will change, church. Hey, it will change if you begin to give Him praise right where you are. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I see the cloud the size of a man's hair. He say, come on and get ready. Get ready because it's going to be an abundance of rain. Oh, my, my, my. It's time. It's a season for the showers of blessings. It's a season for it. But you know, after all this, we find in 1 Kings 19, verse 1 and 2, and I'm coming home. I'm going to try anyway. Remember I said God gave her space to repent. That's what He said in the book of Revelation. But Jezebel would not repent. And I want to tell y'all something today. Y'all done heard some things here. God has been giving us all space to repent. But we're going to have to take advantage of the opportunity we have. God, I ain't been living right, and I know I need to live better than this. Some of the things God ain't going to take from you. Some things you got to give up on your own. It's your proof to show you how, it just shows Him how much you love Him. He done showed you how much He loved you. Now you need to show Him how much you love Him. Do you love Him because mama loved Him? Do you love Him because daddy loved Him? You love Him because pastor loved Him? Or you love Him because you love Him? Look at this. 1 Kings 19, you know, God just answered by fire. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years, and we just got an abundance of rain. And you can imagine Ahab's heart probably like, boy, I'm going back to the God of Israel. My wife was wrong. But look at what happened when he got home. That's when you can't marry the wrong woman. You can't marry the wrong woman. This is what happened when you marry the wrong woman. After that powerful move of the Spirit, look at what happens. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And you can imagine how he was saying it. Maybe he was thinking that she'd become converted. And with all how, she heard God wasn't doing this kind of stuff. It was no revival in Baal's day. Right? Said, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Now, maybe she didn't tell Ahab what she was doing. Right? But she had a secret messenger go to Elijah and say, so let the gods do to me. And more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time, a dominating female spirit is the worst curse that the world has ever seen. Wasn't even moved by what happened. Y'all was moved just by reading it. She wasn't even moved when she heard it. God gave us space to repent. And the scripture that I read over in 1 Kings 21 about her. Is that right? Was that, yeah, 1 Kings 21. And I'm closing right here. Let me just see something here. Oh, my. You know, she was a murderer of the word of God. She was a murderer of the prophets of God. And can I just read a couple quotes here about that? I'm coming to a close, I promise you. Let me read out of What Shall I Do with Jesus Called Christ. Because in the church today, the word of God has been murdered again. The prophet says this, and today the word being clearly for this day has been vindicated, it's been made real, it's been shown to be truth. And at the last days, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom and so forth, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. The very God himself, who was the word, predicted the end time and what would happen, and the lights would break forth in the evening time, and how that Malachi 4, he would send forth these things and prove them. And it's been brought to the place of a decision, and the churches has turned it down. And what have the churches desired? A murderer of the word. One who takes a system. If the system is contrary to the word, then it's a murderer to the word. And they desire a denomination tradition in the stead, instead of the true word being manifested and proved that is God amongst the people by signs, through pictures, a light, the same angel of the Lord, the pillar of fire. That ain't nothing but the truth that people have murdered the word again. You know, people have turned the radio off because I ain't hooping. I can't see Jesus hooping. Why would Jesus have to grab his ear and start getting the people, you know, all worked up? No, he just let the power of God work people up. Right? I mean, he ain't got, and that's all we needed to see, a move of the Spirit. That'll get people excited. But now, we'd rather have our flesh excited any day than just receiving the pure word of God. No, if I'm a sing, I'll sing. But when it's time to preach, I'll preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that we, as we accept these denominational systems, we are murdering the word of God all over again. We're no better than Jezebel. I was thinking about that scripture. Jezebel said, you suffer that woman, a prophetess, Jezebel. Now, the Bible has no problems with a woman prophesying. But it does have a problem with her preaching. Amen. Have no problem with a woman prophesying, but it does have a problem with her preaching. And what the problem was with Jezebel is that her influence, and see, Ahab should have never married. She was not a daughter of Israel. Her influence influenced the entire nation. My God, my God, my God. But I tell you what, when God proved himself and answered by fire, it turned the hearts of the people back to the faith of the Father. Can we just, this last thing I want to show you here, we read here, the reason that this prophecy was given in 1 Kings 21, verse 23, and
And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. And there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Now, I want you to know that in that same chapter, this woman was a murderer. And also in the Thyatiran church age, the church murdered so many believers. 900 years of murder, killing. A lot of believers died during that time. Well, you know, here in Ahab's reign, a lot of the believers, a lot of the prophets were killed underneath his reign. And there was one other man that died and did not need to die. His name was Naboth. After this great manifestation of God answered by fire, after the rain and everything come, God gave Jezebel space to repent, and she still continued to murder after that. After her prophets were murdered, right? She still kept on murdering. She was still threatening to kill the prophet Elijah. She had space to repent, but wouldn't repent. Naboth was just sitting there and minding his own business, and the man said, you know, the king said, you know, I want Naboth's vineyard. It's right here close to my palace, and I would love to get that. And here he go down, and you know, he tries to ask and negotiate with Naboth to get the vineyard. Naboth said, I can't give you my father's inheritance. I can't do that. You know better than that. Come on now. He said, no, you know, just, I'm sorry, I can't do it. So Ahab go home, and he's crying and whining. And his wife said, what you in here crying for? I asked Naboth for his vineyard, and he wouldn't give it to me. Well, you know, you the king. You don't have to sit here and cry about things like that. Well, you know, but he just didn't want to give it to me. So I'll take care of it. They got a little plan together. She got a letter together, and she signed it with Ahab's name. She forged his signature. This is a wicked woman. Oh, my God. That's why you better know what you're marrying. Be done forged your signature and got some money out your 401k and everything else. You'll be wiped out. Come on, somebody. But then you got to watch spirits, church. Right? You got to watch spirits. And same thing with it. If the young lady get a young man, he be done forged your signature. Right? And he done got something for you, like, well, how did he get that? The spirit on him. Forged the signature and say, you know what? This is what we're going to do. And, you know, we're gonna take Naboth's vineyard. Then we're going to have a little feast and everything. And then I want some people to rise up and actually accuse Naboth of doing something wrong. See, when you're walking right, you're going to have all kind of stuff come against you to try to accuse you of doing wrong. They did that to Naboth, and when they accused him, they came with this false accusation. They had the man killed. The man died and never did one thing wrong. Naboth, the news comes to Ahab. If Jezebel come back, you know, hey, that field you wanted, take care. Going to get it, because Naboth just died. Ahab jumped up. What? Didn't ask no questions. You better ask some questions. They have a saying, you don't know? You better ask somebody. Didn't ask no questions. Just got up, just rejoiced. I'm going to take over Naboth field. Well, as he was on his way, God had a prophet there waiting for him. And you done did this, and you done did that. You know what? Because you did that, you think God didn't see you. Say, you know what? There's going to be some dogs lick your blood. Right? And there's also going to be some dogs lick your wife's blood because of what she did. God saw what both of them did. And God pronounced judgment. Right? And I'm going to tell you, you know, that the church and everything that is done over the years, God is pronouncing judgment on the church. But thank God for the true believers that have walked right in the midst of all of that. And we represent that group of true believers that have come forth in the midst of. We were hidden, just like the 100 prophets was hidden. Amen. We've been hidden in God's mind, and we're going to stand on this word in this hour. Church, we're coming forth because God promised to rebuild ruined places. God bless you. God bless you. I tell you what, we're going to leave it there today. Praise God. We want to bring it a little bit further and just show how it was rebuilt during the days of our prophet. Amen. That's where we're not crazy. We know exactly where we stand. The scripture just proves it right on now. All we got to do is take our time and get it. Amen. It was restored in Elijah's day. It's restored in our day. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, just this little journey that we're able to take, Father, and just look at these things. How the prophet told us, Lord, how
we could see Israel's church ages through the reign of Solomon. It was the beginning of the church ages in Ephesus. You said in Ahab's day, it was the darkest time that Israel had gone through. It represented the dark ages, the Thyatiran church age. And God, how the scripture even laid it out so perfectly in the book of Revelation when it said, thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel who seduced my people to commit fornication. God, to go into idol worship. That's what Jezebel did. And we see the church did the exact same thing today when they introduced Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They've gone into idol worship, not even realizing what they've done. The prophets say people go to church every week worshiping Satan and not even knowing that that's what they're doing. God, we thank you that we worship you. For Father, you have sought us to worship you. You said they that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. So thank you for giving revelation to us. Thank you, Lord, for anointing this word. And God, just thank you for settling our hearts that we can walk, Father, according to these promises. So I pray, oh God, that you would just forgive us of every sin. If there's, Lord, I know all of us have had our hearts spoken to. If there's any area, amen, that you're dealing with us on, God, help us to surrender to you in that area. Help us, oh God, not to miss this place of repentance the way Jezebel did, but this is a time where we've heard your word again. We've been given an opportunity to repent. And God, it's not necessarily repenting and coming to the altar, but Lord, it's the altar's in the heart. And hearing the word, responding to the word by, Lord, living right and doing right and acting right. Lord, being what the word has called us to be. We don't want to follow the example that Jezebel has set, but we want to follow the example that the word of God has set for us to follow. So help us, God, to embrace that, to walk in it, to live it is our prayer. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Just give me something softly there. Church, I'm under expectation, and I know that with you all following this message and everything, you already can see way ahead of me where it's been restored in our day. Many things that the prophet had to endure, things that he taught us, arguments, not necessarily arguments, but disagreements on the word that he had and how he handled it. Even during those situations, God was restoring truth to us so we know how to conduct and handle ourselves when people come against us. We got to hold to this word. We got to hold to it. We're going to be challenged, amen, in this hour to hold to it. I know I'm being challenged. I know I'm being challenged, but I'm determined that I'm going to stay with this word. I'm going to stay with it. I believe it, church. I believe it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I can't find no fault in it. Just like when they looked at Jesus, say, the pilot said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in this word. And church, I tell you, very easy to just kind of go with the systems of the day and get paid at Jezebel's table, but no, that's not what we're going to do. We're gonna believe God. We're going to stay with this word, church. Praise the Lord. So, amen. If I have to stand by myself, then I'm going to stand by myself. But I believe God got a few more that have not bowed their knee to Baal and refused to bow their knee in this hour. So, God bless you. Let's sing this song. We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Amen. Walking in the light of the word. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing with all of our heart. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, Jesus, he is the light of the world. Well, we will walk such a mercy are bright.
yes, shine. He is the light of the world.
Come on, sing it one more time.
Well, we walk. Yes, we reveal the beauty for light. Oh, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us. Oh, by day and by night. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is the light of the world. You are the light, my God.
Hallelujah. Come on one more time.
We will walk, we will walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Oh, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine. Oh, by day and by night, oh, Jesus, the light of the world.
Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the light that you have given us, Lord, in this hour. The pure light of the Word of God that's been provided to us. And Lord, we could never thank you enough. So we've just been kind of combing through a few things in Sunday school. And even this morning, some of the visits that we've taken to other churches and some of the things that we see happening in the church, we can see the spirit of Jezebel has been loosed in the church, and the things that they have done, that they think they're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus, God, these are things that you completely reject. We thank you, God, that you have given us eyes to see and ears to hear. We're grateful people, Lord, and God, we know that we're not better than anybody else. It's nothing but grace that has provided this for us. So God, as we prepare to leave this place, but not your presence, we pray that you would go with us. As we come back tonight for our communion and feet washing service, we pray that you would meet us, God, in a very special way. And Lord, I pray that every heart, amen, that is not right with you, and Lord, that wants to be a part of the communion, God, I pray that you'll deal with their hearts, that they get things right, that they can be a part of the communion service, because that's the first thing that we'll do when we cross over to the other side. God, us have communion with you. So we need to do that here on this side, that we'll be ready, Lord, to do it on the other side. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you deal with our hearts. And Lord, anything that we need to make right, let us do it, that we, oh God, could have freedom to worship you and to praise you and to serve you. That's our prayer. Keep us until we're able to meet again tonight and on Wednesday. We just trust, God, that you just receive all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. And I'll let you be seated just for a moment. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Before we go today, amen, I just wanted to just take just a little time to express my appreciation to many of the saints that are serving here and just working, amen, in ministry. October was Ministry Appreciation Month, and you all forgive me. Me and Sister Erica had some things for you all, but we had to wait for something to come in the mail, and it got here a little late, so we're doing it today. But we just wanted to just express our appreciation to many of you all. Brother Wisdom, just wait for a second there. We want to just give you something there before you go in. But
I did want to just say thank you to all of those that work in ministry here. And one thing is, you cannot do ministry by yourself, and you need people that'll be faithful and amen, that'll just kind of help with what's going on here. And I'm just grateful for each and every one of you that come to be a part. My wife's going to help me just kind of deliver these. And can we get that maybe on the table? Sunday school, I just really thank you for everything. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Brother Wisdom, amen. He's been so faithful over the years. Appreciate all you do in the worship service and also taking care of the books for us. God bless you. Appreciate you, brother. Brother Josue. Yeah, thank you so much. You watch the door and you take care of the books for us. We really appreciate it, brother. God bless you. Sister Cobb. Now, we really appreciate Sister Cobb. She take care of playing that clarinet, but a lot of times when we are all wanting copies of our videos and CDs, Sister Cobb stand up late at night to make all that happen for you all. So, Sister Cobb, thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Brother Caleb Wesco. Thank you so much, brother Caleb, faithful in playing music, but also we know that God has a calling on his life as well, and we just thank God for this young man being raised up in this house. Amen. God bless you, brother Caleb. Praise the Lord. Sister Rachel. Now, Sister Rachel does so much, very faithful in playing music. Our Sunday school teacher for our little ones, and she's making a difference and impacting future generations. God bless you, Sister Rachel. Thank you so much. Sister Sam, we want to say thank you. When Sister Rachel is not able to do Sunday school, Sister Sam is always so willing just to step right in and keep class going. We really appreciate you, Sister Sam. God bless you. Amen. Sister Jessica. Sister Jessica has started playing music for us. She, on Wednesday night, she's becoming like the lead musician. And I'm just looking forward to what God's going to do in this young lady's life. And I already told her, I say, now, don't get comfortable just playing here at Spirit of Truth. I think God's going to raise her up. She's going to play all over the world. God bless you. God bless you, sister. Sister Sarah. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Sarah. Thank you for all that you do on that violin. We really, really appreciate it. God bless you. Amen. Sister Rebecca. Praise the Lord. Thank God for these musicians. Now, there's times, I'm going to tell you, I sit in my office and I listen to these musicians start playing. I'll be thinking in my office that we got the best musicians around. That's, you know.
I mean, listening to us, and we got the best ones around. But Sister Rebecca, we appreciate all you doing, playing music, and also stepping in and helping out with Sunday school. Thank you so much. God bless you. Sister Charisse, thank you so much, Sister Charisse. She's another one, as I was listening to her singing this point, I'm saying, man, that's another one that grew up in the house. And we just appreciate you, Sister Charisse, not only with your singing, but what you do in the back, pulling those quotes and scriptures. It helps us all. So thank you so much. God bless you. Sister Tina, amen. We are very, very grateful for Sister Tina, and she does an awful lot. Everything I think that me and Sister Erica don't do, Sister Tina do. Now, I'm a brag on her. I'm a brag on her just for a little bit. Sister Tina, she help out in the back by making sure that the words, the scriptures, the quotes, the announcements, she makes sure all of that's done. When it's time for food to be served, Sister Tina right there at the forefront, helping coordinate and get those things done. And one of the things that Sister Tina do that most people probably don't know that she does, and I'm praying that someday she won't have to do this. But Sister Tina, a lot of times on Wednesday nights and Fridays night, she the one here opening the church. Because sometimes we got people that's arriving here early, and she has the church open. That's a sister, brothers. That's not right. Right? That's not right. But I appreciate her faithfulness. I thank God for it. Even this Friday night, she sent me a text, said, Brother Wesco here with the minister. You know, she's like, where everybody at? Right? I was on the way, but you know, we're gonna need some men to step up into their places because I appreciate what she's doing, but somebody else is supposed to take that spot from her. But Sister Tina, God bless you. Thank you so much for all your faithfulness. God bless you. Amen. So glad we can depend on you. Amen. Sister Michelle. Yes, praise the Lord. When we talk about coordinating food and all of that, these two sisters, Sister Tina and Sister Michelle, me and Sister Erica have been able to faithfully depend on both of you all, and we want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. And this is for Brother and Sister Robles. Amen. Our deacon and his precious wife, very, very faithful. This year has been a wonderful year. I've watched Brother Robles just grow in so many ways. When I go to Pentecost Palms, and sometimes, you know, you come, you preach here, and you have to also prepare for Pentecost Palms. Brother Robles has been able to step in and actually preach at Pentecost Palms for us. Sunday morning when we have the 7 a.m. prayer, Brother Robles takes care of having the scripture, singing the song, and just conducting the service. When I was away this year for a couple of times, I said, we want to do communion. Brother Robles and Sister Robles taking care of the communion, doing exactly what we need as just helpers in ministry. So Brother and Sister Robles, there's something in this bag for both of you. We thank you all for your service here at Spirit of Truth Tabernacle. Now, I also want to say that they have been very, very open and honest with us. Brother and Sister Robles will be going back home in January, I believe. They'll be going back to the Dominican Republic. So please keep them in prayer. And like Sister Robles, she sang a song a few months ago, Feel the Pull. So we want to just pray with them as they go. We're going to do something. We're going to celebrate them before they leave. So y'all be ready. It's going to be a Sunday. And after service, we're going to have a nice celebration for Brother and Sister Robles. Anytime food needed, Sister Robles right there to give the food. Amen. Prayer needed, she's constantly praying for us. So we just appreciate both Brother and Sister Robles. And may God bless you. And we thank you so much for all your assistance. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Sister Wisdom, would you take this on behalf of Brother Caleb Fort? We thank God for him just getting in where he fit in when he come here, coming from Beckway, but he come in and do a wonderful job in song service, so we thank God for him. So please make sure that he gets that. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you all so much. Amen. We appreciate you all. We just want to just do a little something special for those that are actually helping out in some capacity. We got to appreciate what others do. So let's pray. Amen. To dismiss. Father, again, we thank you for all the help that you have sent to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. God
God, the different areas that we have kept before you and how you have manifested and showed yourself, Lord, so strong. You knew we needed a deacon and you provided one. You knew we needed song leaders and you provided. You knew we needed help, Lord, in ministry and you provided. God, even raising up Brother Caleb here in the house, Lord, to be a minister of the gospel. God, we're grateful for that. And Father, we just, the musicians that you have raised up, I remember when we started out, we didn't even have music. Didn't even have it. But to see where we are today, we know it's nothing but your mighty hand. God, it's been musician after musician. We even have some that's even backslidden, singers that have even backslidden. But God, we're praying that you're going to rebuild those ruined places. We don't forget about them, Lord, because they've been such a blessing to us. So God, I just ask that each one that has come and helping, those that you even started to raise up, we ask that you just use them for your glory, for your honor. All the singers that's gone forth and the songs that's put out on radio, and how I hear testimony after testimony of people being encouraged by the songs that come forth from this place. God, I'm just grateful for what I see your mighty hand doing. I know it's not me, but it's you, Lord. And I want to stop and just say thank you. I want to give you praise, God, for the things that you're doing in our midst. And I pray, God, that you just continue to add to the numbers here, that you just continue to bless, Lord, in ways that we cannot imagine. I trust, oh God, that you would just continue to get glory and honor out of all that happens in this place. Lord, we surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our thoughts to you. We surrender our ways. We surrender it all to you, Father, and trust that you'd be magnified and glorified in this place. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know if there were some cards that I had here earlier that I wanted all the church to be able to sign. And I don't know who has a card right now. They're still next door. Okay. If you didn't get a chance to sign the card, I want you to do that now. You all heard from Brother Leroy about a year ago. Not exactly a year, but some time ago, we prayed for him because he was having a desire to go back to Okeechobee and start fellowshipping there again. And he told me that he will be making that official. So before Brother Leroy leaves, amen, we have a card that we signed, and we want to give it to him just to tell him, Brother, we appreciate all your faithfulness here in the church and what you've done over the years. I've been able to depend on Brother Leroy anytime he come. The bathroom already always taken care of. Always. Brother Leroy's been so faithful. And Brother Leroy, God has watched that. God has seen that. And God will reward you for your faithfulness. So, amen. I told him in the card, he'll always be a part of Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. So, we bless him as he goes. And we've already prayed for him. But if you start seeing that he's not here, it's because he's starting a fellowship there in Okeechobee again. And the other card that I have there was for Sister Rilan. Sister Rilan, I've sent a card pretty much letting her know that we miss her and everything. And before she left, we didn't get a chance to give her a good going away, right? A real good going away. Sister Rilan has served so faithfully here at Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, and I wish that we would have been able to do things a little bit better. So I got a little card over there that I asked everybody just to sign, because I want to send that to her just to let her know that we miss her and that we're praying for her, and continue to just keep her in your prayers. You know, one of the things that I learned even in her leaving, anytime somebody's leaving our fellowship, let's make sure we go out our way to make sure that they know that we love them, that we're praying for them. I want to make sure that we have at least a card going, at least that, you know, but make sure you give them a really good hug to let them know how much you love them and you're praying for them. And if you can, reach out to us sometime on text and just let them know that you're praying for her. Like I told her, and I also tell Brother Leroy, the porch light is always on here at Spirit of Truth Tabernacle. So anytime you want to come, you're welcome here, amen, to fellowship with us. So praise the Lord. So just make sure, if you haven't signed those cards, make sure you do that right away, right after the service, amen, so we can get those into the proper hands. I'd like to get Brother Leroy's card to him today before he leaves. So please make sure, if you haven't signed it, that you sign that card next door. God bless you. Amen. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you.
Sister Tina, who